Corinthians chapter 3. Sister Paul, I want to apologize. I recognize something and I didn't tell you in advance. So you can chop me up after church. But look in your section and pull up a work in progress. Just that phrase that we, and I have my reasons why. And right after the work of in progress, you should have verse 12. I apologize. I was focused on so much on where we stopped. And you won't understand where we stopped unless I kind of bring you up to speed as to how we arrived at where we stopped. So, okay. Keep in mind, I'm not going to back all the way back up and rehash our introduction into Philippians chapter 3, or even mention all of what Paul explained to us in the opening verses. I'm just going to tell you where we stopped off on last Sunday and keep going, okay? I want you to recognize that what Paul wants us to understand, mainly in Philippians chapter 3, is that he had not arrived at a spiritual level of perfection. So I entitle that thought, A Work in Progress. On last Sunday, we were into dealing with verse 12. I want to reread verse 12 and then share with you what you should already have in your notes as to where we should be on today. Verse 12 in the text says that Paul said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I told you that when you look at verse 12 of the text, that Paul lays out three basic attitudes that literally controlled his holy ambition. If Paul knew then that he had not reached the level or experienced all that God had in store for him, he gives us in this text his approach of how he remained under pressure regarding what folks may have said. The very first thing you should have in your notes is that I explained to you that he had not received everything. And there we discussed the statement, not that I have already attained. We finished that. The second thing that you should have in your notes is that Paul said he had not become everything. And there we looked at the statement, or am already perfected. On last Sunday, we were at the closing of the second point. I may have given you the third point, but I want you to understand how we're going to arrive at getting to the third statement that Paul makes in verse 12. So I closed last Sunday's thought by looking at Paul's position versus his condition. Are you with me? All right. I do not want you to lose sight of the fact that Paul is not wrestling with being unsaved. He's saved. He's a Christian. He's born again. He has invited Christ in his life, and he is experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody with me? With all of that being said, that constitutes Paul's position. Everybody clear? If you are born again, you are given a position. You are placed in position. And it's a holy position. It is an anointed position. It is a position of power. But don't lose sight of the fact that Paul continues to say, I'm saved, but I have not experienced everything God has in store for me. Stay with me. Now that we know that Paul is all right in his position, well, what is he talking about? Paul isn't talking about his position. He's talking about his condition. I sure hope that makes some sense. Are y'all with me? You see, if your condition is not quite right, you don't need to fret or complain, because you're going to get taken care of because you're in the right position. Don't ever fumble with your condition if you are out of position. Boy, I sure hope y'all got it. I can't move forward now if you don't understand that Paul is talking about his condition. Nobody sitting up in here, condition is all that. Because the moment you think you got one thing taken care of, something else goes wrong. So I'd be very careful now that you don't lift guard and walk around, well, I got that nip, I got this nip, I got that. No. Because the moment you think you got some things under control, hell breaks loose. So Paul says, it's no way possible I can be all that because I'm dealing with my condition. I know the position I'm in, but my condition is what I'm dealing with. Now look back at verse 12. Paul then shares with us his third answer regarding how he managed to stay focused on working on his condition. Listen to what he says. He tells us he had not done everything. Well, I hope y'all getting this. Check your notes now. Secondly, I told you he had not what? Become everything. First, he had not received everything. Now he says he has not what? Done everything. How can I prove it? Listen to his statement in verse 12. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Listen to me good. When you arrive at Paul's closing statement in verse 12, Paul is talking to us about his present spiritual purpose. Do I need to say that again? That last statement that I read, Paul is talking to us about his spiritual present purpose. How can I prove it? Glad y'all asked me. Notice that Paul is very enthusiastic about his attempt regarding his progress in his relationship with the Lord. Did y'all get me? He's excited. See, one of the things of how we can hinder the growth of the Holy Spirit in our lives is because we got a dead attitude. You got to be enthusiastic. Paul was not half-hearted in his effort. You got to give it all you got. You can't quit. You can't become discouraged. Why? You haven't made it. You are a work in progress. And if you are not careful, Satan will mess with your mind. Paul was excited. He recognized, I'm not there yet. I'm on my way, but I'm not there. And he was excited about it. I can't figure out how people can wake up every morning, go throughout the day, and mess it up. If you know you haven't arrived, be perk about it. Come on now. Christians ain't got no business being tired and lazy. Why? That's where Satan wants you to be. Because if he can get you discouraged, he got your trap. And I'm not meddling, but some of us, we do nothing but complain. Because we think we've arrived and we haven't. Watch Paul now. Look at what Paul says and how he says it. He says, but I follow after. Follow after comes from a Greek word which means pursue. You with me? It means pursue. And he's not talking about cute and pretty pursuing. He's talking about hard pursuing. Now let me explain it like this. When I was young, little boy, my granddaddy knew that I liked to stay out in the yard. And a couple of times he invited me to go with him in the woods while he would go hunting for rabbits, squirrels. And you can't be pretty when you go hunting. I hope y'all understand that now. Because see, your focus is on your game. And if you see what you are after, you can't be telling me, it muddy over there. That too much water right there. No, I can't step in that. No. He stepped anywhere, on anything, and I never really understood it at his age. He wasn't talking about, well, let's turn around. That rabbit done warmed me out. He gave it all he had. See, we've lost that today. Seriously. Christians don't pursue much. All Satan has to do is put a dead end in front of you, and you're not going to pursue. Paul in the text says he is pursuing. He's after what God has in store, and he's given it all he's got. So when Paul says follow after, he's talking about the idea of a hunter tracking down its prey. If you see what you are after, you got to go get it. My wife asked me a question the other day. We were just talking. She said, if I hadn't walked through the doors of the church that day, at the time that I walked through, would you have pursued me? And I said, yes, because I saw, yeah, I saw what I want. And if you know that's what you want, then why are you sitting there acting like it's going to come to you? Boy, y'all just, so Paul, watch Paul. He says, but I follow after. So despite the fact, and watch the wording in Paul's statement, that word attained. Look at how he puts it. But I follow after, if that I may what? Apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That word apprehend means to lay hold of. It means to grip. It means to reach and to grab. It means to pull down. You can't pull nothing down if you ain't pursuing nothing. Boy, y'all, you gotta pursue it. So the idea is like a football player tackling his opponent. If the other team got the ball, you don't stand there staring. That's why some folk can't play sports. Because it's all about You don't wait till the ball come to you. Your goal when your team doesn't have the ball is to tackle the opponent. Boy, y'all better get this. So why is it that when Satan gets in the picture, we don't tackle that booger? Come on now. Why is it that you've gotten so pretty now and you don't tackle him? You got to note something when Paul makes this statement. Keep in mind now that Christ pursued Paul. Yeah. Yeah. Do I need to say that again? Christ pursued Paul on the road to Damascus. Now, let me really mess with your mind. He pursued him for a purpose. Now, if it was left up to a vote, Paul never would have gotten saved. Am I making sense to everybody? Because the first thing we would have hollered, what does the law want with him? Because, honey, he's a straight-out hell raiser. He's there killing people all over. That don't make no difference. I don't see what the law want with him. But see, that's why you ain't the Lord. Because some of y'all don't see what the Lord sees in somebody else. So why are you worrying about their opinion regarding you? God was chasing Paul for a purpose. Now, can I tell you something? God saw some boldness in Paul, and he just took that boldness and redirected it to a spiritual perspective. So if you got a hooker on the street corner, boy, y'all have got quiet up in here. And girlfriend bold enough to step in a car and sell her body, girlfriend ain't scared of nothing. So you said, well, God, he don't need to deal with her. No, he sees some qualities in her. So when Paul made this statement, it teaches us some valuable lessons. First, Christ had a divine purpose for the use of Paul. Stop asking other folk, what am I saved for? They didn't save you. Go to the Lord. And stop being scared. And, you know, I wonder what they gonna think. I don't care what you think. I remember when I announced my calling. Peavy? Parting Peavy? Boy, y'all. Come on. But what they didn't know, God had a purpose. And he got a purpose for you. All right, watch me now. Watch me. Stay with me. Watch the transition that Paul makes now. Look back in your Bibles in verses 13 and 14. I'm not going to read them right now because we're not going to even get to a point that we're going to finish all that. But I want to take you somewhere. When you start reading verses 13 and 14 in the text, Paul unfolds, he reveals a threefold secret about his great success as a Christian. Three things Paul's going to let us know in that text. Two of them are found in verse 13. One is found in 14. And two and one makes three. So Paul unravels, he makes known, he reveals his secret. Two things I need you to focus on before I even read one verse. Keep in mind that Paul was a specialist with a singleness of purpose. Got me? I'm saying that so you can better understand the text now. Paul had a focus. He had a goal. He had an objective. And in his mind, he kept saying to self, that's what I am after. I'm striving to towards spiritual perfection. Stay with me now. Then there's a second thing I want you to see in the text. I want you to keep in mind that in verse 12, Paul's focus was on the present. That's what we just finished, the present. But now look back in your Bibles, and you'll note now that when we arrive at verse 13, it is no longer on the present, it's on the past. In verse 12, Paul centered on humility. Now on 13, his focus is on forgiveness. Watch him now. Watch him. Pay attention. Look at verse 13. Listen to Paul. Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do." He didn't say we. "One thing I do." Watch him now. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Not going to even finish the verse. Ain't in a rush. So that means I'm going to pay attention to the words. Look at how Paul addresses the audience he's speaking to. Write it down in your notes. Paul calls the Philippian believers brethren. So Paul starts off with a gentle, intimate, affectionate concept. Why? Because Paul needs them to understand. Now, if Paul was around some old folk, they would have put it like this. That was an old saying. How do you draw flies? Boy, I knew I'd lose y'all. I said it like that. Do y'all remember what the old folk used to say? "Honey, you can draw more flies with honey." So Paul wanted them to get their mindset on what he was about to reveal, so he calls them brethren. Now, why is this important? This is important because in the background of the audience were the Judaizers who were accusing Paul of literally saying, in essence, "I made it." And Paul said, "Hold it, y'all got that all wrong. Y'all got that all wrong, okay? Y'all don't understand. I'm a work in progress." So Paul said, "I need y'all to get it now, Philippians. Get it." He calls them what? Brethren. Now, in verse 13, after Paul addresses his audience, he presents a disclaimer. Watch the disclaimer. Y'all got to see it in the text. Look at the disclaimer. "I do not count myself to have" what? "Apprehended." That phrase teaches us something. It teaches us that we are to be honest about ourselves. And most of us up in here, most Christians have a tendency to forget the areas where they struggle. And they concentrate on the areas they think everybody sees. So what we do, we put the good on the outside and hide the bad behind closed doors. Boy, I wasn't going to get no amens. Now, we will criticize a person taking a drink. Boy, y'all take. But then there are the folk who don't drink in public but get drunk at home. Boy, y'all done got quiet. You see the difference? wrong. And it's possible that the person who took the nip in the street never got high.
Yeah, that's right.
But you got drunk. Paul's intent was to redirect false teaching. There was an error on the table, and Paul had to redirect the teaching to get these clowns, these so-called spiritual experts in place. And Paul hollers, I'm a work in progress. I want to show you something. First, I was going to jump over it. I want you to notice the clarity in Paul's statement. I tell y'all all the time, when you read the word, don't just read. Pay attention to every word, every letter. Look at it. And it'll jump off the page and grab you. Listen to what he says. I do not count myself. Stop right there. What'd he say? I do not what? Now, there are two words in that statement I want you to write in your notes. I and myself. Paul didn't say we. He said, I and whom? Myself. Now, why is it necessary? Listen to the language. He didn't say, I do not count. He says, I do not count myself. He didn't say we. He didn't say us. Paul says, if you're going to hit me right. If you're going to talk about me right. So he shoots back at him and says, I don't want y'all beating around the bush. I ain't talking about nobody else. I'm talking about me. Myself. See, some of us, when we address issues, we got to include everybody else. You stand in need of a situation is you. But here's the word before I let y'all go. I need you to write down in your notes. Paul says, watch this now. I do not what? Write it down. The word count comes from a Greek word which has a twofold meaning. Twofold meaning. Listen to the first one. It means looking back in the process of discussion. So stay with me. It means that there was a talk that had been done. So Paul remembers the talk, reaches back, and the talk comes to mind. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Are y'all with me? Here's the second part. The second part of the issue is that now Paul not only says that he looks back, but he faces what he looked back at to draw a conclusion. Can I help some of us out? Many of us don't ever look back. See, that's why we repeat the mistake. You were stupid and dumb the first time, and you dumb the second time. Because sometime, you need to look back at the discussion. Remember what you had. And then once you look back, bring it to the and put it on the table so you can arrive at a what? Conclusion. Some of y'all in relationships. Some of y'all chasing somebody. Oh, don't y'all get mad with me. And you reached a point, you need to reach back. Realize that rascal. Realize that girl. Boy, y'all got so quiet. Why y'all do that to me? Y'all just get so quiet. You need to reach back and realize, holy, now they did that same stupid thing then. Now they done it. Then you need to drag it forward and draw a conclusion. I don't need you no more. Boy, y'all got quiet. I don't need you no more. Paul said, I do not count myself to have apprehended. So Paul now is dealing with a past completed process. I mean, that rascal looked back and said, oh, y'all talking about me being all that? That ain't true. I'm a work. So when you see me and I come to church and I shout, talk about me. But I need to plant a seed in your spirit. I ain't made it there yet. Let me close on this. I've had people to say, I wanna grow up and be just like you. I said, hold your horse, yeah. Wait a minute, hold it. Don't move too fast. Let me explain why. This is important now. See, it's my job as your pastor to put the best of me in your presence. But don't you ever walk away thinking that because I've given you the best of me, that there's not another me that exists. Yeah. Yeah. All right. See, that's why you make your mistake. That's why you mess up at. Because then you are placing me on a level that God ain't put me there yet. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a work. But sometimes I can't share with you where I am because you don't want to move from where you are. So sometimes Holy Spirit will say, hold that. That ain't their business right now. Right. Stay focused in the lane you in. Yeah. Am I making sense to anybody up in here? Do y'all get what I'm saying? Yeah. Because some people will never grow if they can just walk away and say, well, the pastor's just like me. Yeah. He dealing with the same thing. Now, I ain't dealing with the same thing. I got an area I might be dealing with. Boy, y'all better get this before I let you go. If y'all don't speak up, you're going to stay in class for another 2 hours. Paul says, count. Count. That's what's important. Count. I have not what? Counted. I've added up everything. I ain't got there yet. He told me 100. I'm at 50. I am a work. Put a pin there. Put a pin there. Put a pin there. Because where we'll start, Sister Paul, is at that phrase where Paul says, but one thing I do. But one thing I do. We ain't got to the three. But one thing I do. But what? That'll be my intro next Sunday. But one thing I do. Don't lose sight of them personal pronouns Paul using. Ah! He ain't speaking for no, he said, one thing I do. I count not myself to have apprehended. I, myself, now I. Okay.